I'm Steve Potter. This is Cityscape. And coming up, we're going to preview this weekend's Miles Davis celebration. But first, manufacturing fooders. That's our topic in this month's Soundbite segment with Sauce Magazine. Catherine Claney is Sauce's managing editor. Hi, Catherine. How are
Hello.
You?
Hello.
Also here, the co-owners of Fooder Crafters of America, based in O'Fallon, Missouri. That would be Justin Safel.
Hi.
And also Matt Walters. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us.
Catherine, since I do read Sauce Magazine on a regular basis, I know what a foodie is,
uh-huh.
a foodie, but a fooder.
Fooders actually predated the foodie, to the best of my knowledge.
But a fooder is not a person.
A fooder is not a person, no. A fooder has actually been around in Europe for centuries, and they are large oak barrels that you use to age wine and beer. And they allow a slow addition of oxygen into the barrel over time, and that actually changes the profile and flavor of the beer. They've been used in Belgium for hundreds of years for wine, both wine and beer, and now they're growing in popularity here in the craft beer community for sour beers or other traditional Belgian-style beers.
Hmm. Justin, fooder is spelled, not like it sounds, F-O-E-D-E-R, so what's with the spelling?
That's the Dutch spelling. There's also a French spelling. I couldn't tell you how that Matt may know.
I think it's F-O-U-D-R-E.
Yeah. Well, what does it refer to then?
I think it's Dutch for huge barrel. Yeah.
It's not as complicated as I thought. Yeah. You know, my dad lives in Bardstown, Kentucky, which is the bourbon capital of the world. So I've been through those distillery tours and I've seen those big barrels that they use in bourbon. So what's the difference between what you're calling a fooder and the barrel I see in Kentucky?
They're a lot bigger.
The fooders are a lot bigger.
We're building a fooder right now for a client down in Florida, which is the barrel is 11 feet 3 inches tall by
77 inches.
Yeah,
correct.
6.5 feet in diameter. So you can imagine that's a pretty large barrel.
So there must be an advantage to these barrels or these fooders being bigger than barrels.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the ratio. Most of our clients don't want to have any oak profile at all.
That means oak taste?
Yeah. So what they want is more beer per square inch of surface area of oak. So they're trying to get...
you increase that volume, so you reduce the amount of oak taste, if any, and then it allows the slow ingress of oxygen, so you can actually age it longer without the beer oxidizing in a bigger vessel.
There's a lot of science here. You were talking about the fooders being bigger than a barrel, but at the same time, fooders come in a range of sizes. Some are bigger than others.
Yeah, I guess the smallest one we make holds about 310 gallons, and we do them all the way up to about 8,000 gallons.
Catherine, you, Sauce Magazine, mm-hmm. Profiled these gentlemen and their business, but mm-hmm. gee... how unique is that? I mean, aren't there people making these all over?
Well, the thing about Fooder Crafters of America is Justin and Matt actually are the first and I think still only fooder makers in the U.S. They
correct.
Jumped into this market about 2 years ago. And up until then, if you wanted a fooder, you had to order it from Europe. And so, which is very odd because the wood used for fooders is American white oak, correct?
Yeah,
for
which
our
is
fooders.
Here.
Not all fooders.
Not all fooders,
yeah.
But a good chunk of them. I mean, as far as oak goes, and we have some of the best oak in the world right here in our backyard, and you guys...
And we have some of the best sour beer makers...
Exactly.
...in the country here in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people really started jumping into the fooder-aged beers a few years ago, right when these guys started operating their business. So, and you know, he's referring to Corey King, who owns Side Project Brewing and is mm-hmm. one of the best, does some of the best sour and wild ales that are aged in these same barrels.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we're going to have a photo on our website of what a fooder looks like, so people can take a look. A few years ago, gentlemen, before you opened Fooder Crafters, you were both part of Heavy Riff Brewing Company.
That's correct.
I think you were in the ownership there, but what exactly did you do?
Well, I ran the place for a while, for about a year, until we were ready to move on to fooder crafters and to really get building. But about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, you know, we really came up with the idea while we were building the bar there. Matt's an amazing woodworker, and I had been searching for brewing equipment and brewing vessels and, you know, thinking about the idea of getting a fooder, but I couldn't find one. So, you know, one day I just asked Matt if we could build one.
Well, you know, Catherine says the oak, they made fooders in Europe or wherever it was, mm-hmm. and the oak comes from here. Why were there no fooder manufacturers here before? Is there a reason that you know of?
Well, they don't, you know, we're kind of different. We actually use American oak, but a lot of the French ones use French oak or Hungarian oak or things like that. So I don't know how many French companies are actually using American oak to make fooders. But I know they make their wine barrels from American oak.
That being said, why do you think that with such a great natural product here, there were no fooder makers prior in the U.S.?
I guess the demand just fell out. And these fooder makers in Europe, I mean, they've been doing it for hundreds of years. So I don't know if people really wanted to jump in the market and compete with them and try and, you know, make them for just wineries because mm-hmm. breweries weren't really using them.
Our first six that we built leaked. It was the hardest, the most difficult thing that I'd ever built. It was the most difficult thing that I'd ever built out of wood, including violins. You know, a violin
Are you
is
serious?
Yeah, a violin is far easier to build than a fooder.
I'm wondering what the demand is too. If you're a brewery or a winery, how often do you buy a fooder? I mean, I would think a fooder would last a long time.
They last for decades and decades.
Yeah. So. But, you know, you can only have one beer and one fooder, and it ages for 3 months to a year.
Okay, so you're the first ones in this country, at least recently, to make these fooders. How did it occur to you? You're both working at the other brewery together. How did it occur to you there was a need for this here and that you were the ones that were going to do it?
Well, it certainly wasn't my idea. It was Justin's idea.
How'd that happen, Justin?
Well, just searching for equipment, and then, you know, you'd read about these breweries that were able to find them, and they were very secretive about, you know, where they got them, which is unusual for breweries. A lot of breweries just freely give their information. That it's a great community. So I thought that was a little strange, and, you know, I couldn't find one. I couldn't buy one. You couldn't find any information on them.
And the French companies will, if you're a brewery, they'll tell you to look in the secondary market, secondary wine market. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't really want to sell you one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, the secondary market's very limited and you have to go through a broker and, you know, you might get an email that says, oh, we have these three fooders for sale. They're this amount. And you'll call them 5 minutes later and they'll be sold.
Hmm. Well, I get the impression, I mean, these things are not easy to make. You said, Matt, the first few that you made leaked.
Yeah.
So you didn't, I guess you didn't have a blueprint or a plan from somebody else. This was something that you had to learn on your own. So how did you do that?
Well, we Americanized it. We figured out what in our minds, what the best design would be. And for some reason, we kind of were pretty close the first few times. It's just, we had to work through all the kinks, had to get the expansion of the wood, the wood expands in a dramatic way when it's wet. And obviously the outside's dry, the inside's wet, so you have some weird movements. So we had to get through all those processes. I'm sure people have tried to make fooders and after their fourth one was or fifth one was leaking, they quit. So the sixth is the charm.
How long does it actually take to make? And I mean, how many people work on it?
Just Matt and I right now. We're hiring our first employee, and he starts in about a week. But it'll take, you know, 4 to 5 days to produce one, you know, just the two of us.
And when someone orders them, if a brewery orders one, are they ordering one, or did they order a bunch of them?
Well, almost all of them. I mean, one of our clients, Ballast Point in California, ordered four. That's the most that have – it's normally one. But one of our clients from Yazoo down in Tennessee, mm-hmm. he said that fooders are like tattoos. You just start with one, and and then you get another one, and you get another one, you get another
one. Yeah, they're addicting.
So. I don't know a whole lot about beer. I'm learning a little bit about craft beer, so I'm on the learning curve. But someone mentioned sour beer before, and mm-hmm. Catherine, first of all, tell me exactly what sour beer is. I'm not too sure about that. And is that something that's growing in popularity?
So within the craft beer community, sours have gotten very popular.
Are they really sour?
They are, yeah. They are generally traditional Belgian styles. And they are inoculated with yeast strains like Brettanomyces, Lactobacillus, and they're often aged in wine barrels or fooders or other barrels like that. And the result is a bright, almost slightly funky beer that can pack a really, really tart punch. And they become increasingly popular within the craft beer community, much the same way that what IPAs were, mm-hmm. 8 years ago, 5 years ago, mm-hmm. IPAs got really big, and then they sort of went out to the masses, and then now sours are sort of the next big thing within the community. But they really are sour, and they're named that for good reason.
But just because a beer comes from a fooder doesn't make it sour, right?
No, it's really depends on what yeast you use or bacteria you use in it.
The barrel's really used for a lot of our clients consider the barrel kind of the gates or the fence around their zoo, and what they put in there, it's not just yeast, it's also bacteria, and a lot of it's wild yeast that comes from the air. So it's like a Missouri wild ale is opened at the beginning to the air to collect the wild yeast, and then it's and the wild bacteria. You know, originally beer was made before 1920. All beer was sour. Mm-hmm. It's just since they've been able to get single strains of yeast that beer is not being sour. So we're just it's more of a renaissance than anything.
So these fooders can be quite large, and from what I've read, I think sometimes the people that buy the fooders from you install their own spouts or equipment or other parts to it.
Well, we build the spec, so whatever they want, we'll put on a CIP arm, which means clean in place, and all these different valves and cooling coils, and so we customize it really.
How are these shipped in whole pieces, or is this hard to ship across the country?
No, we ship them in it sometimes fills up the truck, but we ship them all assembled and ready to go.
Well, what are your favorite food or beers, and why are they your favorites?
My favorite food or beer is called Rosé du Blé by The Side Project. It was made in one of our fooders, so that's maybe the reason why it's my favorite. But it's also just unbelievably delicious. It's made on top of grape hulls that were put into the fooder, and then the saison was aged on top of the grape hulls. Mm. So it has a nice kind of grape feel to it.
Just briefly, Justin, do you have a favorite?
Well, the rosé is one of my favorites as well. But you can go back to the kind of the classics like Rodenbach and those are great. All the Rodenbachs, like the Grand Cru and their series. But you know, the rosé and fooder beer by The Side Project, they have that on cask. Pretty much every time you go in, that's a great one.
Well, to wrap things up, Catherine, is there anything else going on in the craft beer scene in St. Louis we need to know?
As far as trying fooder beers, I encourage people to go out and try them on their own. The Side Project fooder beer, as Justin mentioned, is available at Side Project Cellar right now. But another good gateway one is La Folie from New Belgium, which is out of Colorado, and that's pretty widely available as well. And that's also a good, like, not too sour. It's not going to beat you over the head, but it's a good sort of gateway to the rest of the sour beers out there. So
are sour beers more expensive?
Yes. You know, you're looking closer to $30 for a large beer.
So I'll just order an unsour beer. Yeah.
That's why you got to go to a good beer bar with sour beers on tap and practice and sample and figure out what you like. And then you can go buy your 750s and sell her away.
And I'm sure this probably is not something you'll tell me, but I imagine these are pricey.
Yeah.
But we try and price them as cheap as like a Chinese stainless vessel, you know, like,
of the same
size. Of the same size. So really,
we're looking at like $10,000 for a
like a 30 barrel
to hold 1,000 gallons.
No kidding! Wow. We've been talking with Justin Saffel and Matt Walters, co-owners of Fooder Crafters of America, based in O'Fallon, Missouri. And I sure learned a lot of things I didn't know today, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
thank
Catherine, before we go real quick, I attended the Metro East Food Truck Festival in Alton a couple of weeks ago, which was fun. You've got your regular one coming up today.
Yeah, Food Truck Friday is today in Tower Grove Park from 4 to 8. Come on down. There'll be around 20 trucks. Bring your dogs, picnic blankets, kids. Come out and have a good time.
That's Catherine Claney, managing editor of Sauce Magazine. Thank you. And again, Justin and Matt, it's been fun. Thanks.
Thank you.
Long neck bottom. Let go my hand. In jukebox, don't start playing that song again.
Coming up next on Cityscape, the first statue of Miles Davis in the United States to be unveiled this weekend. This is St. Louis Public Radio.